I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy and the chapter 5 this morning. Two verses I want to read from this chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And the verses 17 and 18. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honour, especially they who labour in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labourer is worthy of his reward. And with the word of God open, let's seek the Lord's face in a moment's prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we come to thee and we do thank thee for this thy day. We thank thee, Lord, for these hymns that we have been singing together. And Lord, it is our desire that every one of thy redeemed people today, whether in the pulpit or whether in the pew, may that we'll all lay our altars, on our lives on the altar for Jesus Christ, and that we will serve thee with nothing less than our best. We thank thee, Lord, for our pastor of this work. We thank thee for the eldership and the committee. And we pray, Lord, that you'll bless the oversight of this congregation. And we pray, Lord, that day by day they'll know thy power and thy wisdom in leading this flock. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless us now around this word. And we pray, Lord, that today you'll take thy word, and may it be a word in season, and a word, Lord, of blessing, and a word of encouragement, and a word of challenge to all of our hearts. We pray now, Lord, that thou will empty me of self, cleanse me afresh in thy precious blood, and give me liberty to preach thy word even this day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say it. Amen. Next week and this month of June that we will enter in a day's time, we can rejoice what God has done upon the work here in the hill. I always thank God every day for this congregation. I always thank God for the day that I was asked by the man of this pulpit, or the word of God that has been preached here. I always thank God for the privilege of given that responsibility to come and serve the Lord in this congregation. I'm always privileged and thankful for the leadership and the guidance of our pastor here upon the hill. I give thanks to God when I look at the buildings that God has given to us. And child of God, today here in this house, we ought to give thanks for what God has done. And we can say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We can say today of a truth, to God be the glory, great things thou hast done. In the scripture we are encouraged as God's people to often pray for those in leadership. It is good today that we can do that. A church with a pastor is an exciting combination. Our brother Ryan's here today, and our brother David and some other young people, they have had the privilege and opportunity of going across to the mainland to preach the word and other congregations. They've gone to congregations, and I have been there myself, where the congregation doesn't have a man to oversee the flock. As I sit in their prayer meetings, my heart goes out to them when they sit there and they pray to God and ask God earnestly that God would indeed one day send to them a pastor to oversee the work of God in which they're serving them there in the various places. You know, today a congregation indeed is blessed when they have a pastor to feed the flock. When they have someone there to look to when things go wrong. When they have someone there to come alongside them. When maybe they have to sit in the early hours of the morning and to see their loved one passing from time into eternity. When if a problem arises in the home or sickness comes upon the body, what a blessing it is when they can lift the phone and ring their pastor and call upon him to come and minister to them in a time of need. There are those in our denomination today who don't have that blessing. Yes, they have a minister who will come along from another congregation to do it, but they don't have a man of their own to do that particular work and to love and to share things together. Pastoring work is never an easy work. Ruling in a God's work is never easy. But it has to be done. And child of God, I can say of a truth today, You have a man in this pulpit who has stood in this pulpit for many years. He doesn't know what I was going to preach on today, but God did. I'm not here to boast a man today, but I am rejoicing in what God is able to do through a man that has sold his life out to serve in the Lord. There are many we can read about who has done that in the past. They're now in God's eternity, but we still give thanks to God for their faithful ministry. But I can certainly say of this congregation, having known our pastor on a personal basis, that he prays for you. I know that for a fact. And you're blessed indeed. There are many others would give anything to have a pastor to lead the flock, and to pray with the flock, and to pray for the flock, and you certainly have had that blessing over these number of years. Officers of the church are ordained by God, and there is power in a congregation and in its leaders which God gives to serve them and to effectively meet and to feed and to lead the people. The pastor is an important part of his divine plan. We read this morning in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, the gifts that God gives to this church. God has given many gifts to this congregation. There are those today that we can place even upon those pages that we read in Ephesians chapter 4. A God-ordained preacher of the word holds a unique position. It's never an easy position, but it's a unique position. It's a position that God has chosen out and planted for that man to serve the Lord. God takes many different individuals to serve him. You can read that in the book of 1 Corinthians. He is the one, the pastor is the one who feeds the flock of God. The pastor is the one who pleads for the souls of men and women. There are those in this congregation this morning who have sat under one of the greatest evangelists in our denomination. You've sat and listened to the faithful proclamation of Brother McRae for many years when he has stood and proclaimed the blessed news of the gospel, when he has cried for the souls of men and women from this pulpit, when he has met you in your home on an individual basis and he has spoke to you personally about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet today you sit in this congregation and you're still unconverted. May God answer the prayer of a servant in bringing you to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. The pastor is one who leads the child of God in their walk for Jesus Christ. How should we honor a man and his office, not just in this pulpit, but in a denomination? How ought we give them reverence? Is it good to do so? Is it good to honor them? Is it good to show respect? I believe it is. We show many times respect and honor to men that have died, and rightly so, but I believe it is also good to show that honor to those that are still with us. God has blessed our denomination with great men of the past. Some are still among us today. Some have gone to glory. We ought to give thanks for such, that through God, they have accomplished for God what God had planned out for them and for their work. Should we honor them? I believe we should. If you turn to the book of Acts chapter 28, there's a few verses I want to turn your attention to here at this point. Acts chapter 28 and the verse 7 to 10. Acts 28. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief men of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed, and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. Who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Here was men used of God. He was man serving the Lord. He was Paul, the great evangelist, the great missionary planter, the great church planter, the great man of God who served the Lord faithfully. And you will see there's a scene happens here, and there's a young man that loves these men in the Lord. It is good to love one another. We read this morning concerning loving one another. We ought to endeavor to love one another. Every one of us, God's people here today, ought to love one another. And it is good to love our pastor. It is good to love the oversight of the church. Love them in the Lord as they see to the ministry of God's work here. And you will see that Paul here lodged with Publius, and now his father taken sick, and of course Paul prayed and he was ministering healing here through the power of God, through the ministry of the Spirit of God. And he comes and he prays here and he gives ministry here in a difficult situation of life. And when he done so, God answered prayer, not only for this man, but for many that came with different diseases. And they were so moved and they were so excited and their heart was filled with love for their brethren here, these men of God, that they honored them men that was among them at that time. Ought we to honor our men today? Ought we to give thanks to God for them? Yes, we do. I believe they're due it. I believe they're worthy of it. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. How should we honor a man in his office? Should we pour out him abundance of gifts? We can do so in recognition and thanksgiving. But I believe for a congregation to really honor the man of God in the pulpit, they can do it under three things, and I'm going to give them to you very quickly in our closing moments this morning. First of all, you can honor your pastor by praying for him. If you turn to the book of Romans chapter 15, Romans chapter 15 and the verse 30, and there's a wonderful verse there as I was studying the Word of God. Romans 15 and the verse 30, you will read these words, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake," not for the man's sake, not for the glory of a man, not for the glory of a denomination, but for the glory of God, "for Jesus Christ's sake," listen to the words, "and for the love of the Spirit." I ask you today in this place, do you love your pastor? Only you can answer that. Do you love your pastor today? Do you love the brethren that oversee and rule in this preaching house? I'm not asking, do you see eye to eye with them all the time? I'm asking today, do you love them in Jesus Christ? We ought to love one another. And you will find here that he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Read them for yourselves, and may the Spirit of God write them upon your heart. How ought we to honor our pastor as he stands faithfully in the pulpit, as he faithfully proclaims his word, as he's there with us in the difficult times and situations of life? How do we love him? How do we honor him? We do it by praying for him. Have you prayed for him today? Have you prayed for your pastor this morning? Because the greatest honor that you can place upon your pastor, if he knows there's a people who loves him and prays for him, not only on the Lord's Day, but every day. This is for you today. This is for me as I've been studying this. And my friend today, may the Spirit of God write it. Here's Paul the Apostle. And my, he has many saints that he loves and many saints who encourage him. But here's one thing he cries and he beseeches them and he appeals for them today. Is this above all other things, no matter what else you do for me or you give to me, do this one thing. Give me this one thing. Give me your prayers. Pray for me. Strive for me. And praying for me. Have you strove at the place of prayer today for your pastor? If you haven't, you're not fulfilling God's word. Because you're failing to pray for your pastor. Because look here. strive to gather with me in your prayers to God for me. Why does your pastor need your prayers? Our prayers? I believe he's fighting a spiritual battle. If you turn to the book of Ephesians, I'm not, but you can turn in your own reference time. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we're told of the great battle that every child of God is in, and especially the pillars of the church. If there's anyone under great attack, it is the leaders of any congregation. Yes, every child of God is under the attack of the devil every day. Every one of us who know and love the Lord, the devil is out. He's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to rip the child of God apart. He wants to destroy their testimony. He wants to ruin them in the gutters and the mires of sin. He wants to make them a laughingstock of the public. What does your pastor need to face the battle and to face the enemy and to face the fiery darts and to face the principalities and the powers? He needs the prayers of you and me. And if there's any man that's ever under attack, the work of God, it's the man who stands behind the sacred desk. Because if he can get the pillar pulled down, then the rest of the building will fall. Think of it. If he can get the pillars of the church, that's the leaders, pulled down, the rest of the building will fall. Fall into discouragement. Fall into disunity. Fall into bitterness. Child of God, today I ask you to pray for your pastor, because he needs it, for he's fighting a spiritual battle. He needs it because he's human and susceptible to temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. We're to pray lest we fall into temptation. Don't you think the minister is some way immune from that? We are all friend, and let me say to you, none of us can point the finger. Let me say today, we are all open. And my friend, we have got to be careful, and we must pray that we may not fall into temptation. And if we must pray that we ought not to fall into temptation, then how much more we ought to pray for the man of God in the pulpit as well. He needs our prayers because he needs wisdom for counseling. He needs wisdom for leading, and he needs wisdom for preaching. Many of our men say today, and our younger men that are in the ministry or in college, and they sit and listen to some of the older men, and I always like talking to some of the older men of our congregation. It's good to listen to the older men. But you will find that they will say that many things have changed today in society and even in church work. Things that they had never came up against ever before in the ministry that they were ever involved in. Things, situations, problems that they had never experienced in their ministry right up to this day and generation. I remember speaking to one of our men one time, and he says, you know, I feel for the next young men that are coming out of our Bible college, what they will have to face in future years down the line in the work and the ministry of the Lord. That's why Ryan needs your prayers, friend. That's why our brother Morris McGackie needs your prayers. That's why our young brother Roger needs your prayers. That's why our students need your prayers. Why? Because they're going out into the heat of the battle, and it's hard. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What does that mean? You ask in prayer. And you need to pray for the oversight and the preacher in this pulpit, that God will continually give him wisdom in counseling and in leading and in preaching the word of God in this very place. Pray for your pastor every day, child of God. Pray for his strength. Pray for his wisdom. Pray for his discernment. Pray for his power. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 has a beautiful verse. Just turn with me a little moment to this verse. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look at that verse. Study it for yourself. Look what it says. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. How has our brother stood 40 years? I don't know, humanly speaking, but I know he has done it under the power and the enablement of God. If you agree, say amen. And how does our Sunday school teachers do anything for God in the Sunday school class? How do they do it? Read the verse again for yourself. It as of the ability which God give it. How does our youth team, our children's meeting team, our open air teams, how will they be able to serve the Lord in this day in which we live? They'll do it as God gives them the ability to do it. How will you stand for God in this week? How will I stand for God in this week? We'll do it as God gives us the ability to do it. How does any preacher go to the hospital bed? Or go to a home that has been wrenched with sorrow? How is he going to face it? And friend, we have been in them situations, and it makes a man tremble in his very shoes. How am I going to deal with it? How am I going to bring comfort? How am I going to bring solace? How am I going to bring encouragement? How am I going to bring hope out of a hopeless situation? He can only do it with the ability and the power of God. You must pray for him. To pray. The greatest honor that this congregation can ever give to the pastor of this work and the oversight of this work is this: if you pray for them. Paul said, "Brethren, pray for us." And I pray that our pastor and the oversight of this work knows every day that there's a people on the hill are praying for us. If you haven't been praying, well then it's about time you had. We honour our preacher. We honour the oversight of this work, which they are due. Man gives honours to the world. You do a certain time in the workplace, and the workplace will give you a certain honour for doing it. Well, how much more the man of God deserves it. And thank God one day he's going to get the greatest honour of all. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I believe it's up to us to honour where honour is due. We'll honour him by praying. I'll also say this. We'll honour our pastor by praising him. By encouraging him. That's what I mean by that. Not to make anything of a man, but it's to honour the God who worked through the man. Pastors need encouragement. There are many things to listen to. That's part of the ministry. That's all part of it. But you know, it's nice sometimes to be ministered to. Not only to go and minister, but it's nice too to be ministered to. Not only good to go out there to be an encouragement to others or an encourager to others, but it's nice to get encouragement back. Paul thanked God for the day Barnabas came across his path. Why? Because he was an encourager. Child of God, today are you an encouragement to our pastor and the oversight of this work? Should I be? Yes, of course you should. Sure, I turn up now and again. That's fine. Let me say to you, friend, you ought to be an encouragement to the man of God. How do I know it? 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and the chapter 16. I want you to have these references for your own self, that you will see that this is a word that the Lord wants to lay upon our hearts. Look what it says, 1 Corinthians 16. He's bringing, I would urge you as believers to read the opening verses of the epistles and so on, and these letters and even the final letters as well. Because you come across many different individuals, and you'll find here in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 16, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Achaeus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Listen to these words. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Acknowledge them. Thank them. Reverence them. Honor them. And look what it says. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Have you been a refreshment for the man of God? Have you ever set out to refresh your soul? Have you ever set out to thank Him for His ministry? Have you ever set out and thought to take time out or just say, brother, I was blessed in my soul through the preaching of that word today? Or have you just shook the hand and gone out? Or have you never even said anything at all? Or maybe you only give Him a grunt? Well, then you should be in the sow house. That's all you can give is a grunt. And many will grunt, and that's as far as it'll go. People like encourage. People enjoy to be encouraged at work. People enjoy getting encouraged at school. Our three girls came home from sports day the other day, and they came home with wee certificates. And my father got excited because of these three certificates. Now, they didn't blow all the sports field off the planet, and they'll not be in the Olympics, I don't think, but I'll tell you this, I had encouraged them. And by the big smile on their face and the excitement, I'd gotten encouragement. And let me tell you this, there's many as a time the man here gives and he gives and he gives. But how much encouragement have you given back? 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 13. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. Refreshed. Encouraged. How do we honor him? By refreshing him. Encouraging him. My lifting his spirits up when he's down. Praying for him when the battle's tough. God, let me say to you today, God wants His people to be encouragements. Paul rejoiced in those that were an encouragement to him. You can read all those chapters and verses and places and people that were a blessing and an encouragement to Paul. And even in times when he was in the darkest moments and experiences like, even in times when he was in the dungeon experiences, my, he rejoiced in his soul. He knew there was those who loved him, those who were praying for him, and when he would get out, there were those who would refresh him and encourage him as he fought the battle for Jesus Christ. The general goes out to his troops to encourage them. And they'll encourage him by their loyalty and their determination to serve King and Conqueror. Good words lift and revitalize the soul. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and the verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Remember to encourage your pastor. Remember to thank Him for His word, if it has blessed your soul. Remember to show your gratitude, because it's good. And it refreshes and it strengthens for the battle ahead. Let me tell you this, friend. Focus on your pastor's strong points. And speak often about them. You know, man will always look at other man's bad points. They will. Don't like the way he blows his nose. He's grown no growth, eh? Some say to me, I like it, and some says, I don't. I says, I don't care whether you like it or not. I won't grow on it. And some will say this, that, and the other, and they'll down, and, well, did you see the suit he wore today, or did you see that? And, you know, he shouted too loud, and maybe he's a bit long today. And, you know, and they'll go through a whole palaver of stuff, all the wrong things, instead of focusing on the good. You turn to Philippians, I'm not doing it for time this morning, but you turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 and read it for yourself. And it'll tell you there what you ought to focus on. No man's perfect, friend. And if our pastor was in this pulpit this morning, and he's not, but if he was, let me tell you this, he would rightly agree with it. None of us are. None of us are perfect in any way. We have all our little faults. We have all our different characteristics. We have all our different personalities. But friend, that shouldn't take away the point that we ought to be an encouragement to our pastor, and at times as well, think of all the good things instead of all the bad things. Think of what he has done and accomplished with the power and help of God. Just don't consider how lengthy the message was. Think of what the message was. Because let me tell you this, friend. This place has been blessed with a faithful preacher of the word. And there's places today would love to be here. There's people listening to this service this morning, and they would love to have what you have this morning. Pastor in the pulpit. I know my time's gone. We honour a pastor by praying for him. We honour our pastor by encouragement. And that's meaning to be at God's house as well. Not dwindling in the morning and disappear in the evening. And I don't care where else you're going to. If God has called you here, your place is here. That's where God's called you to. Some like it and some don't. I'm not here to please. You say, oh, but I like another free church, friend. There's hundreds of free churches, but I'm telling you this. If God has called you to this place, this is the place you ought to be. You're not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Oh, but I could worship it. God has called you to here, and this is the place where your loyalty ought to lie. Now you can take that whatever way you like. But that's where God, in His Word, this is where we are, this is where God has called us to, and I will put all my endeavour. I would have put us more fuel in the car with God's work on the hill than running around half the country. Might have been a bit of work done. It would put us half energy getting ourselves out to some other place and putting the energy into coming to this place. Might have been some crowd in. Encourage your pastor. Those are places you can encourage him in. Finally, honour your pastor by being a partner in the work of God with him. That's why I sang those hymns this morning about serving the Lord. Blessed is the service of the Lord our King. Those other hymns. The ministry can be a lonely work if you're doing it alone. There's men today, there's brethren around the our other congregations, and I'm telling you this, the minister's the only one can go in the door. The rest are elderly, the rest are ill health, they cannot do it. They've only a wee small nucleus of people, and the pastor's there himself, serving the Lord. Did you ever think about our brother down in Cork, Colin? A lonely station. There's other men serving the Lord and ladies serving the Lord, missionaries of the gospel, and my, it's a lonely station, but my, they would give, they would joy their heart if that others still stand in the gap and to strengthen them as they serve the Lord. And here God wants us to be a people, to be a partner in the work of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "For we are laborers together with God." Are you together with the man of God in this work? You know, people often promise more than they deliver. They'll often say, "Oh, I'll be behind you, Mr. McRae. I'll be there. Barrett, we'll be there." Or some other works, and they're that far behind, you need binoculars to see them. But they're behind us. They're well behind us. Not trip over them anyway. Or stand on their toe, because you'll not be there to do it. But then they'll say, "Oh, we're behind you." We're behind you. Oh, so they are. Church work is done by the faithful few, but I ask you today, are you among the faithful few? Are you part of it? Are you part of the work of God here? This is not a one-man ministry, friend. Far from it. This church hasn't just it come about and it's just hanging on hinges, this, that, another. Friend, there's people working in the scenes behind. There's people, yes, in the front. There's people behind, but they're all working together. What? To please man? Not at all. To get a wee word from the minister of congratulations, or get a wee bouquet of flowers here and there. No, friend. They're doing it as unto the Lord. They're doing it for the Lord. Oh, that God would bless this congregation with more. You know what thrilled my heart the other week at the Child Protection Night? When I looked across that congregation of people, and I'll say a congregation because there was 94 names went down that night, and there were some not there for various reasons. God has blessed this congregation, but you know, friend, never think there's never enough. There's always room for more. You might say, "Philip, I've been here a wee while now and I've really not got involved." Well, let me tell you this. You come and we'll soon get you involved. Ever say there's not room? Boaz had the field full of labourers, but there was still room for Ruth in the field as well. There's still places for her to gather. And friend, don't you think in this pew this morning, there's no room for me. I'll tell you this, we'll get you room. There's always room in the service of the Lord. And there's a real encouragement and there's a real honour to the preacher when they see his people working together for the sake of God's name. I trust today you'll volunteer to work for the Lord, whatever it can be. I trust today you'll be that teacher, that visiting person, that soul winner for Jesus Christ. We read in Ephesians chapter 4 there this morning, those that can all be part of God's ministry, every one of us, every child of God today, you have only one life to live, and as vapor it's passing away. You must labor for our treasures. Or is it just for the sake of a denomination's name? No, friend, I'm asking you to get serving the Lord today for Him. There's nothing thrills the heart of the preacher to see a congregation that has the same enthusiasm and the same excitement and the same determination and the same loyalty as his own congregation to be out. Your pastor will be encouraged when he witnesses your willingness to work. He has laboured here, and many of the oversight has laboured as long as well in this part of God's vineyard to serve the Lord. God has blessed this work with the pastor. He has blessed this work with the pastor's wife. He has stood by him in every situation of life. I know what a pastor's wife has to face. Not a bed of roses. God has blessed this congregation, friend. You need to pray for the man of God. You need to pray for his family. You can honor your pastor, and when you honor him by these things, I believe God will bless his family abundantly, and God will bless the church abundantly, and I believe God will bless the pastor with eternal rewards. And we've all been part of the link of the chain. one plants, one waters, but it's God that gives. How has God kept him going these years? God has kept him by his power. God has blessed him with those who have prayed for him and stood by him and encouraged him. May God help us as a people today to do the same. May God help us to honour him in the way that we ought to honour him, in praying for him and in encouraging him, and of course being partners in the work of God with him. May you say in your heart today, God, you have blessed us. And therefore today I give you my heartfelt thanks, and from this day onwards I'm saying before you, God, I'm committing myself to this today. Lord, from this day forward I am going to pray more earnestly for our minister and the oversight of this work, that God will bless them, watch them and use them to lead and to guide and to feed the flock of God here on the hill. You do. God will keep his side of his promise. God will certainly bless the man and the man and the labourers and the congregation on this hill with a blessing of God from above. Be a prayer warrior for your pastor and for the leaders of this work for today. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you today for thy word. We do rejoice today, Lord, in the teaching of Scripture. And Lord, we thank you today for those who oversee the flock. We thank you, Lord, for those who labor here in this part of the vineyard and all the different works. We thank you, Lord, for the leadership of this place. We thank you, Lord, for being with this congregation in times of good and also in times of difficulty. We thank you, Lord, for giving wisdom in different, difficult and different situations. We hand these men to thee. Bless our pastor and his wife and family. Undertake for them day by day. Unite the family in Jesus Christ. We pray for the oversight. Bless every session man and committee man. Wives and families. Lord, bless this congregation. May we be laborers together with God. May we love this place. May we honour this house that God you've given to us. And may we serve thee day by day to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. And may we be an encouragement to the work of God here. Bless this congregation of people. Bless your word to their hearts. And help us, Lord, to honour thee in all things. For what you've done for us, we can say today, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We give thee all our praise in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, Amen.